Welcome to a 90.5 WESA Life of Learning Community Forum. Life of Learning is a three-year initiative exploring opportunities and challenges in and out of the classroom. I'm Liz Reed. The questions we're exploring tonight are, what can schools do to engage students and keep them interested in learning? How can teachers relay the real-world relevance of the material that they're teaching? How can schools best assess what students are learning to prepare them for a successful future? What's an ideal school climate in terms of safety and innovation, and how do we get there? We'll explore these questions all from students' perspectives. The overall topic of this forum and the key discussion issues were developed from conversations between 90.5 WESA and many students in the region in schools and during after-school programs. The panelists were also chosen as a result of these conversations, and I will introduce them now. Amma Ababio is a senior at Pittsburgh Alderdice High School. Jordan Adams, a junior at Penn Hills High School. Senke Littlepool, a senior at Pittsburgh Science and Technology Academy. Alex Popachak, senior at Carlinton High School, and Aaliyah Rose, a junior at Pittsburgh Obama Academy. Thanks, guys, so much for joining us. So my first question, when you guys wake up in the morning, what are your feelings about going to school? Are you excited to go to school? Are you dreading it? Are there some things that you're excited about and some things that you're dreading? Aaliyah?
I definitely do not feel like going to school when I wake up in the morning, simply because we aren't greeted how we should be. The walls are all tiled in, and the teachers aren't very friendly. And when we go right into our classrooms, immediately we're talking about things that aren't exactly relevant in my life. So I don't feel like too, encouraged to go to school. You know what I mean?
So it has to do with the physical environment in addition to the teachers and the subject matter.
Mm-hmm. For me, I just anticipate. So, okay, in biology, what do I think I'm going to do? In history, what do I think I'm going to do? I literally just plan myself out and how I want to feel throughout the day.
So there's some things you look forward to?
Not necessarily look forward to, but I want to get my mind organized for what I'm going to learn.
Right, okay. Any other thoughts on this?
I feel like waking up for school is like waking up for a job that you don't want to go to. And it's a job that you're not getting paid to go to. And it's one where when you wake up, like, okay, I have to go dig ditches. It's like that's sort of the like thought process is that you're doing something that you don't necessarily want to do and you don't really have any motivation for it, because it's not that the actual job itself is motivating you and it's not that you're motivated to do it. So.
Alex, did you have something you want to say?
I tend to agree with what Senke said. I wake up in the morning, and there are some aspects to a school day that I am definitely looking forward to, mainly the people there that I see. But when it comes to what I'm actually going to do for the day, I'm not really looking forward to it on the whole, especially considering it's as early in the morning as it is. But yeah, that's just a personal issue I'll have to get over.
For me, it depends what day it is. You know, some days are better than others, but most of my days so far have been pretty good. If you ask me during my high school experience, the answer would definitely change. But right now, I am excited to go to school. I am a senior, and so I pick the classes in which I want to take. And I spend a lot of my time, my free time, doing things I want to do, you know, because there's been a trust that I've built with my teachers and the people in my school community in which they trust me enough, in which I can do what I want to do because I am responsible and that I am a person of worth in my school community. But if you would have asked me my sophomore year if I wanted to wake up and go to school, I would say absolutely not, because it wasn't a space in which I felt respected. It wasn't a space in which I felt like I'm a person. I'm like a human, necessarily. And so, it starts too darn early, to be honest. We need to push that time a little further away. 7 o'clock, I can't. I just can't.
That's what time Pittsburgh Public starts high school?
7:36.
7:36.
Yes. Yeah.
What else? Throw them out.
7:55.
7:33. Where? Who comes up with these? So, do you guys feel like it's the teachers that make a difference? Whether you're interested in a class, is it the subject matter? What are the key things that could make kids more excited about learning?
Definitely Jordan? The environment and atmosphere of the classroom, along with subject matter. But even if I'm not interested in it, if the teacher is charismatic and the atmosphere of the classroom is something that I'm comfortable in, all right, you have my attention. I can listen to what you have to say.
I'd have to agree with that. It's like, it's a combination of the way it's presented, the teacher, and the environment of the classroom. Because one classroom could change someone's complete perspective on high school. Like, one classroom and one teacher could make going to school worth it. But you don't really have that in a lot of situations, because you have sort of like this standardized feeling of like how most classes are. It's like your math class doesn't feel much different from your history class, because it's just repetition and it's just memorizing. It's like you're memorizing something different, but it's not something that's actually engaging you.
Aaliyah, did you have something you wanted to add?
Definitely. I feel like there are some classes that make you feel more like you're worth it. Like there's my Spanish class.
Okay, I was going to say, give an example, yeah, but you're one step ahead of me.
So we have the what, why, and how in our school, and most classes we don't exactly follow it, but what that's supposed to do is tell you what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you plan to do it for the day, but they kind of just throw it up there in our school just to make us look good, but we don't actually follow it. But in my Spanish class, we follow it completely, and my teacher is super engaging. He always does things like he'll put on movies that are completely in Spanish, and he'll talk about the culture, different holidays. We'll celebrate, eat the food. Like, a lot of teachers don't go through that effort to help a student really understand why it's important to do certain things. And so you find students not feeling like it's actually important. And then they feel like, oh, let me just get these answers so that I can pass this test, so I can leave this place. It's not about, oh, I can use this in real life.
Amma, did you want to add something?
Definitely. I think a teacher can be the difference between a student being engaged and a student being disengaged, because I've gone through many, many classes at Alderdice, and I go to school for my teachers because they make me feel worth it. They make they give validation to every single thing I do. Even if their class is not engaging, as many people say, the teacher is engaging. I like to get to know my teachers on a personal level so they can see me as the person, not me, the student, me, the 90% that I got on that one test and that one time in the day. And I learned my passion for things that I do in this world through my through my teachers.
Alex, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I entirely agree. I think a good teacher, a teacher that has an enthusiasm for his or her subject, really can make the difference as to the entire environment of the class. If you have a teacher that comes in and is a bit goofy or has some sort of enthusiasm for the subject that they're teaching, generally students are more engaged with that.
What do you think the purpose of education should be in an ideal world? I mean, you guys have talked a lot about the different problems that you see in your schools. Is it to give students basic skills? Is it to give them knowledge? Is it to help them figure out what they're passionate about, what they might want to do with their lives? Is it a combination? Jordan?
In my opinion, school should be to create a well-rounded individual and give them the basic skills and knowledge that they need to go out into this world. Now, is that what they practice? Is that what they produce? I can't say nor agree with, but that should be the principle of schooling, is to create individuals that's going to go out into this world and have the knowledge base that they need to be productive and effective in this world.
Aaliyah, did you have something to say?
That is a tough question. I think your first answer is that it's a combination of all of them. I feel like school is to help people find out who they are and what they could potentially be doing in life and what their purpose is. And like, depending on what subjects you cling to the most, those things could help you, but schools don't do that.
In terms of encouraging students to
figure out what they really want to do, they just tell you this is what you need to do in order to survive in the world. They don't tell you, oh, figure out what you'd actually like to do.
Senkei?
I feel like in an ideal situation, your education would be very personalized. It's very based off of what you want to learn. And I feel as if we learn how to learn, and that sort of takes away from our own ability to learn what we want to learn. We learn to memorize, and we learn that the way that you learn things is through notebooks and through PowerPoints and just the simple things of just going out and learning on your own. And exploring something. We don't really explore in school. You don't get the opportunity to read a book and then talk about what you found from it. It seems as if whenever, like, you read a book or you have assignments like that, you can relate it to, like, you're learning how to watch a movie and pick out all of the people who have a red hat. You're not necessarily talking about what was going on in that movie, and you don't necessarily get a chance to explain, like, well, I thought that the movie was, like, you're not building critical analytical skills, which I feel like if high school and, like, high school particularly is supposed to prepare you for a post-high school education or just life afterwards, then the actual skills that you need of, like, analyzing a situation or communication and things like that, you don't actually receive those because it's more about memorizing information that the way it's presented just seems arbitrary.
Alex, would you like to answer this question, and then we'll get a question from the audience?
Yeah, pretty much what the rest of the panel has said. I believe the point of education is to build a foundation to become a productive member of society. Whatever that may mean, the idea is to give you the skills and basic tools to get along in the world afterwards. Or at least that's in an ideal world what education should be for.
We have a question from an audience member.
Hi, my name is Jacob Binsinger. I'm actually a middle school English language arts teacher in eighth grade at the West Allegheny School District. And this goes to any of you. How have your feelings changed about school from when you started in kindergarten all the way up to now being juniors and seniors in high school? And was there a certain point when you felt like there was a big shift from maybe enjoying school to not enjoying school that led you to some of your opinions now?
Senkei, you look like you have something to say.
I mean, I was just going to say that I think about this actually quite often. Like, what happened to the kindergarten me that loved to learn so much? Like, it's not necessarily that I don't like to learn anymore, but I feel like I started, like, losing, like, that will to keep going to school about somewhere in ninth grade year. Middle school, everyone sort of says, like, it's supposed to suck. So you're just like, so by the time you get out of middle school, you're like, okay, this is, things are supposed to be turning up. I'm in high school. Like, things are supposed to be getting better. I've had a lot of conversations with teachers who I used to have who have told me, you're a much different student than when I remember you in ninth grade. And I think that that's very clear. And it's because I realized from ninth to about 11th grade that the things that we were doing in class weren't actually relevant. And I started to question, like, why are we doing this? If I don't want to go and become an engineer, why do I have to take calculus? Why? It's like all of these questions where I feel like you sort of get to an age where you actually feel like you're ready to be independent and making your own decisions, and you feel like you have a grasp of who you are, and you can say, I'm not interested in this, or I want to know why we're doing this. There's not an actual answer for that. The schools just sort of are like, well, we're going to keep pushing you through the system despite whether you like it or not.
Alex?
For me, it was about 10th, 11th grade year where I stopped having this enthusiasm or motivation, mainly because I go to a really small school district and I feel like I had exhausted the resources of the district and I had exhausted myself. After so long, it's kind of running a marathon, and what are you doing it all for? And after a while, I just kind of stopped having the motivation to push forward with it because I felt I couldn't really go much further than I already was. I felt independent enough that, can I just move on to the next part of my life? Can I move on to college or to a job or just being a regular person outside of this system that feels like a machine?
Aaliyah?
I feel like everybody is asking that question. Everybody in high school is asking, why do I still have to be here? Because teachers don't push enough exactly why you have to be there. And they almost hush your questions. Like, I've had teachers say, I don't know why we're learning this. Like, don't ask me. I've had teachers completely, like, straight out say that to me. And so if you don't know why I'm here, then why should I want to be here? It's kind of pitiful that I should even have to ask that question. I should just know that I should want to do this. I should want to do this without having to question it, because you should be showing me that this is something important. They don't care enough that I'm a real human and that this will affect me later on.
Jordan?
Throughout middle school and elementary school, I took school as a joke. I played and I was just a bad student. But once I reached 10th grade, I was like, I'm going to do this because I want to go to college and I want to do something. I know I have the ability to do it. So at that point, I got excited for school, and now I'm very engaged and I'm interested in doing the best that I can for the reason of I want to get out.
Amma?
I have a different experience from some of the members of the panel, in which I came from a different background. And first I came here in kindergarten. And kindergarten through middle school was very rough, in which I was an outsider. I felt like an outsider. I never felt that I belonged anywhere because of the way students treat me, the way teachers looked at me backwards because I didn't speak English that well, because I can only do math, because math is the same in every language. And so I didn't feel like I could be anybody else but that math student inside the classroom. But it was... Everything changed for me 11th grade year, in which I became a teacher's assistant, in which I was in a conceptual chemistry class, and I saw why education mattered. Because students are put into this track in which they're so they internalize it, they cannot do anything but rogue memorization, but these take this test, this AP exam, this Keystone exam, that they just don't know why education is there. Education is there, in my opinion, to show you what you could be, what you could become, and show you different things that nobody at home maybe might say to you. And so waking up in the morning, it's not just I dread waking up in the morning, but I have a reason to wake up. It's for the students I work with and to show them that there's a different path than drugs, alcohol, and sex, and violence.
We have another audience question, I believe.
Hi, I'm Heather Haar, Greater Pittsburgh Student Voices. So what I wanted to ask you is, what kinds of learning experiences, how could school be structured so that you would feel excited and relevant?
Who wants to field this first? Aaliyah,
I'll
go with you.
I think that at the end of a semester or a unit or something that you've learned, we should have to relate it to something in the real world. Just that way we know what the reason is for doing something. Even if we don't like it, at least we'll know that that's an option in the real world. I feel like we could do things like in our history class, I wish we would debate certain things. And I know it's not a civics class, but I wish we would relate things of the past to things in the future and things that are happening right now. And so I feel like there are so many ways that that could happen that would help students understand their purpose and why they're doing certain things.
Senkei?
I'd say a good teacher is someone who can say something that I then think about when I'm not in school. I think that positive experiences I've had are ones such as a sociology class that I have at the moment. And that's one with a teacher that's completely based on what do students think. And I know it's easier, I guess, because it's a sociology class, so it's very much so discussion-based and about what's going on in the world. But if you can make it something where students feel as if they're actually bringing something to the table, then I think that that completely changes the dynamic of the classroom. Because it's no longer just let me talk at you and let me fill your brain with things, but let me pick at your brain. Let me ask you the right questions where you're thinking about things differently, because that's what's going to make a student think differently, and that's what's going to make a student have the ability to then go out into the real world and apply that same sort of thinking of this is what people are saying to me, or this is what I'm doing in my life, but I can react to that because I know how to look at a situation differently.
It's a 90.5 WESA Life of Learning Community Forum featuring a panel of Pittsburgh area students, Ama Ababio, Jordan Adams, Senke Littlepool, Alex Papachak, and Aaliyah Rose. Ama, you were nodding when he was talking about making students feel like they have something to contribute beyond, you know, turning in an assignment.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in a physics class right now in which it is a different experience, definitely. But so many of my peers are worried about their grade, worried about getting that 90% because they're all in the Center for Advanced Studies program, which is the honors level, in which they're all used to getting A's. And that shouldn't be the case. Not everyone should get an A. You should fight for your A. One time I got a 36% on a test and I said, oh my gosh, I did a fantastic job because I learned the material and I failed, but I knew why I failed because I did X, Y, and Z. I didn't do X, Y, and Z, and I could have done X, Y, and Z, but I didn't. And I own that responsibility, but so much of school is because of GPA, because you want to get in a good college for your GPA, because of the SAT test. And it detracts from learning. It detracts from actually learning the material. It becomes how well can you memorize something in 45 minutes? How well can you memorize something in two months? And I think one way to combat that is to ask students in the beginning of the school year, what do you want in a teacher? What does a good teacher look like to you? How can we make this classroom work for you and work for everyone else, so you can start that basis early and then keep it going, so you're not just necessarily fighting for an A, which turns into like the Hunger Games of school.
Alex, you were nodding when she was talking about the focus on testing.
I feel anymore the emphasis of the education system as it exists is like you said, getting that grade, getting that 90, getting that whatever the magic goal is, and not necessarily learning the content itself. And I think if we seriously looked at what we're teaching and looked at how relevant it is for after high school, for the real world, I think the motivation would move a bit away from getting this magic arbitrary number and more towards how can I learn something to make myself a better person.
Jordan, did you have a comment on that?
Yes. Two things I want to note is what we expect from teachers. Let's think about time. They're on time constraints. So we know that you have to take your midterm at a certain time and you got to take your final at a certain time. We have to be done and you got to learn what the curriculum tells me I got to teach you. So they're not worried about how should we relate it to the real world. They're not thinking about that. Do this test. Let me see what grade you get so we can move on. And I think that might be an issue, but it's not something that I don't think we control because there is a time constraint. So that's always going to be a downfall. And in terms of the testing and the purpose of school, that was my original, I know what it should be, but I don't think it is. I don't think school is producing the effective people that they need to. I think it's let me teach you in case you want to go to college. I think there's high school is saying, I'm going to teach you so that you can go to college. And I'll let college morph you and shape you into the citizen you want to be. But right now, you got to learn what's going to be on this SAT.
I think we all probably remember those students in the classroom who would say, why do we have to learn this? And the teacher would say, you'll need it in college. Do you guys think that there's too much of an emphasis on going to college when that may not be right for every student? Aaliyah, you were nodding.
Yeah, I think that the teachers forget that they need to teach us the fundamentals and the basics first. I know people in my grade that still don't know how to write an essay. Like, I know that they forget that they actually have to teach you things. So if your excuse every time is, well, they'll teach you in college, or you'll need this for college, so let me just hurry up and rush this through and everything, I feel like it's pointless. And I feel like if they were really taking the time, and I get that you only have a certain amount of time, but you can use that time in a certain way. I have teachers that use that time in a certain way. If you can use that time correctly, then you can teach students things that will help college be a breeze, and they won't have to morph you into something. That'll be your choice to go do something that you want to do and learn further into it. But you should already have an idea for what you want to start doing when you're in high school. You should already start forming these thoughts in your head. They should already be not planting those thoughts in your head, opening up your mind to discovering what those thoughts are and what you would like to do.
Alex?
First of all, I'd like to say I'm that guy that asks the question, why are we learning this? Anyway, I think you'll need this for college or you'll learn this in college has become a refrain for not being able to say, well, I don't know why you're learning this. And college is not the only option, but I think if you're exposed to other options, you may be able to think a bit more. But I don't feel, at least in my case, that I was exposed to many other options past, you will follow this track and you will go to college.
Ama?
College is not an option for everyone. It's not the only option for everyone. And so when you walk in the hallways of Alderdice, you just see all these colleges posted up, and it's become such an enigma. You think of college as a faraway thing, and it doesn't become real to you. It becomes this abstract thing in your mind that that's the only thing that I'm here for. And if I don't want to go to college, then high school is not for me. I shouldn't be there because I'm not going to college. Not enough students are told that there's so many opportunities out there. Maybe 4 years in another seat in a lecture hall is not for you and is not for everyone. But they're not told that they could go to cosmetology. They're not told that there's so many options out there for you. And I haven't had many teachers that told me that you learn this because you have to go to college. They tell me exactly what I need to know and why I need to know it, because I go to them outside of class. Because class, that 45 minutes, they have to do what they have to do. And I understand that and I see that. But when you talk to them during their office hours, and their time in which they are off, they tell you exactly why you need to learn what you need to learn. And they tell you what you can use in your future. If you have your science class, they tell you can go in engineering. But if you don't want to do engineering, this is another way you can use this math to benefit you in the future. And not enough students take responsibility of that, of going to the teacher and asking them outside of class, because that 45 minutes, they need to cover what they need to cover because of this state test, because of this SAT that they have to do. And I don't think it's fair to criticize teachers in that way, because they do have something they need to do. It's part of their job.
Sankei?
when you apply to college, the first thing they ask you is, why do you want to come here? And it's like, well, because everyone told me that this is, I'm supposed to go to college. Like, you just end up feeling like lost in like around like junior, senior year, because it's like it gets painted as, oh, this is just typical teenager things. It's like, but it's like, no, I really don't know what I want to do, because all I've been taught is how to memorize things. And college, people tell you, it's like, oh, well, that's where you learn how to learn. And it's like, well, what have I been doing for the other, like, 15 years? And it's like, everyone says when you go to college, like, the class that you take in the morning, it'll relate to the class that you take at night. And it's like, all of these things that seem really great about college being this panacea of, like, learning and whatnot, it's like, why was this not the model that we were then using to prepare us for college?
We have a question from the audience, I believe.
Hi, my name is Jerry Mensinger, and I'm a retired principal from the Pittsburgh Public Schools and currently work at Duquesne University with student teachers and people that want to teach. I first want to say, as a principal of Pittsburgh, I'm deeply impressed with how articulate, thoughtful, and reflective you are. Three of you from Pittsburgh, all five of you are very thoughtful and reflective. So that speaks well for schools and for you. But my question to you is, I'm trying to make this connection now because I say I work with aspiring teachers. What advice can you give me to take back to Duquesne to hopefully influence those kids that when they become teachers, they will make the classroom more relevant, engaging, and we can start that process one person at a time?
Jordan?
Teachers were once students too. So at the point that you are now an adult and you know you want to teach, always reflect to when you were a student. You know what you wanted from your teacher. You know what it took for you to learn. And I need you to be able to evaluate and assess the classroom. Understand the different type of learners you had there. Understand that you need to care. So that just because I don't know, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. I need you to focus in on the core value of what you're teaching. So that I can feel like you're very sincere in what you have to say. So that I know you're not teaching for a test. So that I know you're not teaching because you have to be here. And I think that's the main purpose of teaching. You need to just know.
Amma, you're writing some notes down?
Yeah, because I actually recently had a student teacher from Duquesne, Mr. Giza, in which he posed this question to me outside of class. He's like, what can I do as a rising teacher to make things more relevant to students? And I'm like, you have to open those channels with your students. I made a speech in which, for a ceremony, in which I asked all the teachers and students in the audience to know the favorite color of teachers, to know the favorite color and what the kids like to do on the weekends of every single student they have, which I think it wasn't that a crazy ask for them. And then the students as well, to know the favorite color of every single teacher that they have. And what that does is very simple, is to open those channels and to open those pathways in which you can talk to students. And once you learn about them as people and as individuals, that's when you can definitely make the community of your classroom more inviting and more open. So they wake up in the morning and say, oh, Mr. Giza's class, I want to go to this class because he loves me and he cares for me as a person, not as that C on that paper.
Aaliyah, what would you tell a student teacher?
I would say use your time wisely and know that the time and the things that you are saying to your students are going to follow in their lives. Like, those things that you are saying matter. Always remind me that what I'm doing is important, because we are going to be the future. We are going to be the people who eventually do things. And I guess just remember that what you think is right might not always be right, because times are changing. And if you don't ask your students what they want to learn, then they won't want to learn.
Alex?
I think what Amma and Aaliyah said was brilliantly put, especially what Amma said about make your students feel like people. And I think that'll go a long way. And again, to the relevance point, be abundantly clear about what you're learning, why you're learning it. I think between that and making students feel like they're people, that can go so far in making a student feel engaged and feel like more than just in a class, more like a participant.
Senke.
I feel like what you would have to explain to your teachers is that they don't just teach a subject, but they teach students, and that students come to their classroom in a variety of different ways, whether they come happy and ready to hear whatever the teacher has to say, or they have a really hard background, which is making it hard for them to focus on what you're teaching them.
I think we have another audience question.
My name's Jim Sproul. I've taught over at the community college for 40 years. Oh, wow. I'm semi-retired now. I'm curious about whether you would prefer to be evaluated based on your effort or on your performance.
That's an interesting question. Anyone have thoughts on that?
Does it have to be or?
Exactly.
Expand on that.
And you can put in a lot of effort, but your performance may not be at A level. It's definitely, I would personally like to be put on my effort more than my performance, because I put everything into everything I do. And so to put on performance because I might not do well, even though I am putting in everything, is not fair. Now I do have an answer. I'll do effort over performance.
Jordan?
It'll be nice if you consider my effort, but I think that it should be based on performance. I'd rather be evaluated on my performance because then I know what I did. I can work as hard as I can, but if I don't know, I just don't know. So I'd rather be aware that you did what you could, Jordan, but your performance level wasn't up where it could have been or should have been.
Aaliyah?
I think people should be graded and tested on performance, because if they're teaching you the right way, then you should be able to pass those tests.
Alex?
I do agree that performance is a large part of it, but effort has a lot to do with your performance. If you're putting in a lot of effort and you're not performing well, I think you should be graded more on effort that you're putting into learning and trying to master a skill than on whether or not you perfectly mastered the skill the way the test is written or the way whatever bar is set. I think your dedication to a certain subject matter, whatever that is, should be taken into that should be the main gauge.
Senkei?
So I say I got an A in a class, and that's me performing well, and I put no effort into that. You still have to look at the context, as Alex was saying, like, why, like, am I actually a student who's dedicated to this? And in what way did I present my performance? Did I show you that I could master your test? Or did I show you that I could actually apply what you taught me to something in a real life situation? I feel like what we value from your performance is that's the key right there, because we're like, what are you actually evaluating about my performance? Are you evaluating whether or not I can memorize, or are you evaluating whether or not I can think critically?
You're listening to a 90.5 WESA Life of Learning Community Forum. I'm Liz Reed. We're exploring ways to improve the learning environment with our audience at the Community Broadcast Center and our all-student panel, Ama Ababio, Jordan Adams, Senke Littlepool, Alex Papachak, and Aaliyah Rose. Jordan, you looked like you had something you wanted to add to your answer.
Well, I'll say it. I don't know what's going to happen afterwards, but with effort, you can work all day to fix a car or work all day to bake a cake. But if the cake doesn't turn out right and at the end of the day that car still don't work, you did it. You tried. So now you have appreciation for those who can bake a cake and fix a car. But we're not going to tell you, all right, you could be a mechanic just because you tried really hard.
Right.
I think the experience of trying to bake a cake, and even though it didn't turn out the best way, you try it again, you know? Even though you did fail, you try it again. And you try it again because you want to do better. You want to become what you want to be, a mechanic. You want to become a baker. And I like to high five all my fellow gentlemen down there, because I was like, yes. They said what I wanted to say. And who defines what performance is? Who defines how you are measured? Is it a 90%? Is it a 91%? And the way in which education rolls is because of that 90%. And that's how they define your performance. But I think why people back away from effort is effort necessarily can't be put into rigid boxes. You can't say, oh, you get an A for effort. That's what everybody says. But you can't really say what an A for effort looks like, because it looks different from person to person. And if you can find a way that we can quantify, say, effort, then I think that's the way school districts should go towards, instead of performance, in which you just get a 90 or 91 for what you did.
Aaliyah, you had a comment?
Even though my answer is still performance, because I feel like at the end of the day, you should know how to make that cake in order to become a baker. I feel like effort is a huge deal. And me saying that they teach us just to get to the goal is completely paradoxical. Me saying that I want a classroom where I'm not just taught to go to get to a goal, but then saying that everything should be based off of performance is completely contradictory. So I agree with you 100% because effort should be counted, effort and performance. But at the end of the day, in order to do something professionally, you should be tested on performance.
Senkei.
If we're focused so much on this specific outcome of did you learn how to make a cake and that's all that you were focused on, you missed the complete part of the education. Because if education's like the education's not just what did you learn, but it's how did you learn it and why did you learn it. And like there's so much more that goes into it that it's like education's like a journey, but we're only focused on this destination instead of how we got there. And that being said, like there's so much intrinsic value that you can gain from. If we're going back to the cake, say I failed at baking the cake, but
are we hungry tonight?
But I gained intrinsic value because I appreciated that I followed through on that, or I like. There's just so many. It's an art, I guess. Education is. You can't just look at a piece of art and say that this is what it is and judge it that specific way because you say that, well, the artist intended it to be this way. I feel like if your education was actually personalized to what matters to you, then like students would appreciate their education more because they would have shaped it. It would have been something that was a series of successes and failures that added to their life, something that actually contributed to making them learn something.
I'm curious... this is switching gears a little bit about your school climate. I mean, most of you here on this panel said you don't wake up excited to go to school. So there's something about the climate that's maybe a little bit off. I'm curious if when you go to school, do you feel safe there? Is that a place where you feel like you at least have the opportunity to learn? You know, are there fights breaking out? Is there, you know... security issues? Amma, you're
scribbling
your notes. Are there issues yes. of security and safety at your school?
Yeah. So when you walk into my school in the morning, you're immediately preceded by 3 metal detectors and people that check your bags. And you feel like you're a criminal. You feel like you're being put into an institution where you're not trusted. And I do understand that there's reasons why the metal detectors are put in place, but you don't have many incidences in which people bring weapons or people bring in things that are going to harm you in that way. And there should be more trust between students and teachers, because if there was a respect between students and teachers, they wouldn't be bringing those weapons. Because when you get down to the root of why they're bringing those weapons, it's because they're unsafe. And why they're unsafe? Because they're put in environments in which they feel like they're worthless. An environment in which they can only act out in a violent manner, because they're not given many mechanisms in which they can act in a positive way. And after you go through your metal detectors, it's not very efficient process. If you're a good student, if you look like a good student, you're being racially profiled. You look like a good student, they just pat you down and they're like, oh, you can go. But if you look like a bad student, if you don't have a book bag, they search you like you are some dog that can be taken apart. It depends what day it is if I feel safe or not. Because just yesterday they had 2 fights all about the same thing. Why are they not addressing these issues? Why are they not addressing these root causes? And I don't think it's a problem of being safe. It's a problem of being, am I comfortable enough to be in that environment?
Senkei?
I completely agree with everything that Alma had just said. You know, my school's actually quite safe. We don't really have that many fights. But you wouldn't know that if you just looked at the school, because when you first walk in the morning, no matter what the weather is, we call it the jail line. And it's a line that wraps around the entire school. It's a single file line, and that's how you get into the school. You go through the single file line to then go through a holding room to then go through what seems like TSA. It's like you're treated as if you're a criminal before you've done anything. Students refer to classroom like, I'm going to cell block 15 today. And it's like, that's what students say. It's like, mentally, there's just this school climate of students feeling like they are criminals or that they've done something wrong. I go to Manchester Craftsman's Guild where they don't have metal detectors. And it's Manchester Craftsman's Guild is all Pittsburgh public school students who go for after school programming. And what they believe in is an accountability contract, one that everybody signs. And it's the creator, Bill Strickland, believes that if I create a space in which students are in a well-lit environment and where students are respected and where I trust them, then they'll rise to the occasion. But schools don't believe that students have the ability to rise to the occasion.
Jordan, do they have metal detectors and all that at Penn Hills?
Absolutely. It starts in our middle school. So I don't know if it's because maybe I have a different, because I definitely have a different view than these two. And I don't know if it's because I've just been going through it since middle school, but it's like, I go through metal detectors. Teachers have to do it. They come through, then their bags get checked, and then they're checking our bags. You get the wand, go through the metal detectors, get your bags checked, and you keep on going. But I understand it, because at my school, we have fights every day. We are on lockdown maybe two times out the week, and it's just normal for us. And I don't blame my school for doing that, because they have to evaluate and assess what's in their building and who's in their building. And I don't think we feel like criminals walking through, but we come in with this mindset, we're going to fight today. Because believe me, everything starts outside of school, and they just bring it to school. So we need to be prepared for that. So we have lockdowns, no passes.
Do you feel safe there?
I feel safe in, for myself. I don't think anybody's going to attack me. I feel safe in myself. Because every problem starts with you. You're not in an issue that you didn't know you were in. So I absolutely feel safe in my school.
Aaliyah?
I feel like we are treated like prisoners, but maybe not at your school, but at our school, that's the attitude that they have. They, even whenever there is a fight, which at Obama, there rarely is a fight in the high school, in the middle school, yes, which is a problem. But whenever there is a fight, the security guards either go extremely hard to the point where they're scaring you, or they make things a joke.
So that kind of leads to my next question. I mean, what could be done different? Alex, you have a comment?
I'm just going to say, I go to a small school. It's a 7 through 12 school. We do not have metal detectors. We do not have security guards. Yet I still feel safe. I think we do have all of the outer doors of the building are locked on a daily basis. I feel really safe when I'm there. We don't fight often. And it might be because we're a smaller school, but I really feel safe where I'm at. And I think creating a culture of a prison culture where people are screened in as they come into the building, where everything feels like a prison, I think that really, just from what I've heard, seems to breed quite a bit of like, wow, I'm just kind of taken aback by that.
Senke, you had another comment on that subject?
I was going to say that I think that Jordan and Amma both explain what the problem is and the solution. Most of the time, it starts outside of the school. So why are we then looking at what happens in the school as the only thing that we address? Why wouldn't you then look at restorative practices of discipline that aren't necessarily looking at, well, you fought this person, so now leave school for a week? How about you look at why these people were fighting, and you look at making it so that the community can grow and progress from there, so that those students can come back into the school building and be prepared to be a part of the school community?
I think we have one more audience question.
Hi, my name is Isis Duncan. And first, I would just like to say I'm thoroughly enjoying this discussion because I go to Woodland Hills High School. It's almost as if there are social classes at our school. So say you're in a class where you failed your Keystone remedial classes. There's those set of kids. So already you're profiled as, okay, this guy's going to be going to jail or juvie in a few years. We don't have to do much for this kid. Then there's the people in regular classes. And, okay, you might go somewhere. Honors classes, okay, I think you're going to make it to college. And then AP classes where, okay, we're going to get you to college. You're going to be the future leaders of America. I'm happy to say, like, I'm pretty high on that scale. So I think we get a lot more benefits than the kids. I come into school and I have, like, personal relationships with each of my teachers from, like, years past. And it's great. We're automatically selected out of the other kids. And we look back, like, we have friends lower on that scale. And, you know, they're not doing so good. And once you're below that, you kind of stay there. So I just like that.
Jordan, you've been nodding during this.
Because this is something I preach in my school, and I'm so sick of seeing it. Teachers will tell you, you know what, I'm not going to give it to my regular class because they can't handle it. You're getting it because you're honors. Now, that's not right to say because you don't know the potential that's sitting in that room. So that's what I meant, where aspiring teachers need to care, genuinely care. So when you see someone's not learning, that doesn't mean they don't have the ability to do so.
take the extra time and say, you need to see me after class. Because granted, you can't do it in that period. But teachers genuinely need to care so that that stigma can stop. Because teachers will classify students and therefore will not put in effort to teach them. And that just disappoints me and frustrates me to the highest degree. Because it's not right. This is the future. So for you to sit there and let them fall behind, that's passively causing the future to just be what? Because you don't want to put in any effort to people you think don't have the ability to rise to the occasion.
Senkei?
I think that it goes back to just the way that we evaluate performance, and that the system fails to really handle students who they can't evaluate like everybody else. So I've been in so many classes where there are students who don't have a 4.0 GPA or who don't have an A in that class, but they're highly capable of doing the work and other things. But because of the way that we evaluate students and the way that we approach students, you don't know what potential is in that class.
Aaliyah.
I feel like systems are put in place so that certain people have a head start, and then those people who didn't have the head start are just stuck, left behind, left to be made fun of. It's just not fair that they don't get to face the consequences.
Amma has a comment on this topic.
Yeah, I'll make this quick. It starts off in kindergarten. It starts off when you're born, actually, and what you're put in a setting in which you're not given the right resources and the necessary resources in order to be successful. And so you go in kindergarten already behind. So you're running a race, like I say, and because you are poor, because you're black, because you're this and this, there's shackles on you. And every single year, you're running a race that you cannot win. You're running a race in which you should not win. People are making it so that you cannot never win. And so I have been fortunate enough that I like to say people have taken that shackle off me, because I'm a woman of color, because I am an immigrant, stuff like that. They've taken the shackles off me, and I can see their perspective. But many students I've talked to, they internalize that racism to a point in which they don't believe that they could be in those honors classes. And they believe that nothing they ever do can make them into that honors classes. And they stigmatize their peers that are achieving or that are in those honors classes, because I think it's a form of jealousy, because they don't know what it's like to be in those classes. They want to be in those classes, but they think that because of these system of oppression against them that is so heavy that they can never be there.
Final question here is if you were talking to a younger sibling or a cousin or just a friend, what advice would you give them about how to succeed in this school system, which you guys have just described? What advice would you give them about how to succeed, and not, you know, how to get an A or how to get a 4.0, but how to prepare themselves for what comes next? We'll start with Amma.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
I actually have two younger siblings, and I talk to them every single day. And school is all about making those connections with people and building those bridges between people and talking to people that you can never imagine you can ever talk to a day in your life. And once you have those connections, that A doesn't matter anymore, because you know you're making that teacher proud. Even if you didn't get that A, you're making them proud. You're making them see you as a person, as an individual, somebody that matters. And I tell my little sister, she's 10 years old as of like 3 days ago, that you have to start young. And you cannot think just because I go to high school, oh, I can start at that. No, it has to start way before that. It has to start in kindergarten even. And you have to put yourself in situations in which there are people around you that want you to succeed. Not telling you that you should stay where you are, because you're never going to get anywhere in life if you just stay where you are. You can never be complacent in this world, because that's how people stay in their place. And that's how the man keeps you down.
Jordan.
Overall theme, be aware. You know what you're capable of, and you know what you don't understand. And you need to be vocal about your education, because no one else will. And this is nobody else's education but yours. So if you have a question you don't understand, make that known. And then you need to take the time to understand. Talk to people. If I don't understand, you better know my teacher's going to know it. And they will help me, because I'm going to get the help. Because this is what I need to do for my future. And if you don't have your education, it's going to be hard for you to get anything. So you need to be vocal and self-aware of what you know, what you don't know, and how you're going to get it. That's my biggest thing.
Senkei.
It's kind of hard for me, because I actually have a younger brother, and he's extremely bright. But when I look at him, I see a lot of, like, and he's in seventh grade. I see a lot of 10th grade me in him, where he already knows that the work that he's doing actually is not meaningful to what he's interested in. I didn't come to that realization until 10th grade. So I didn't start doing less work until 10th grade. I didn't start going for the 90 until 10th grade. So I guess my personal quarrel with this is that I don't know how to tell him that, you know, he's not wrong, that the things that he's where he's just like, I don't need to actually be doing this. And because I agree with him, I don't know how to tell him, you know, keep doing it because you need to go to college and all these things, like all these positive things that I want for him. I don't know how to tell him that he's wrong because he's come to the realization that these things aren't useful to him much earlier than I have. So the only thing I can really say to him is that to make whatever he's doing in the classroom or anything he's doing outside of the classroom really matter. I guess that's the advice I'd give to anybody younger, is that if you don't feel like you're being challenged, you don't feel like the school system cares about you, care about yourself and make your learning about you.
Alex.
I'm limiting this down to 3 points. Get motivated and get determined, because it's really hard to stay motivated. And if you can keep that going for as long as possible, it'll get you really far. Ask why and be loud about it. And lastly, listen to people. There are so many people who have so many interesting stories to their life. And I think a major component to any school system are the people that you're in the same room with. So listen to them about what their life stories are and just try and be a better person because of it.
Aaliyah.
I'd say never stop asking questions. My dad taught me to never, ever stop asking questions about why I'm doing something. Always know why you're doing something, even if it has to interrupt everything that's happening in class, just so that you know in your heart why you're doing something and where you can use this information. And you should feel comfortable with being able to stop the class. And two, don't let anybody marginalize you or make you feel like what you have to learn or your question isn't important. And constantly strive to be better than what the standards that they have defined for you.
That will conclude this Life of Learning Community Forum on making education more engaging and relevant for students. Thanks so much to our panel. You guys were truly amazing. Can't wait to see what you guys are going to do in the future. Ama Ababio, a senior at Pittsburgh Aldred Ice High School. Jordan Adams, a junior at Penn Hills High School. Senke Littlepool, a senior at Pittsburgh Science and Technology Academy. Alex Papachak, senior at Carleton High School. And Aaliyah Rose, a junior at Pittsburgh Obama Academy. The assistant producer for this forum is Sarah Schneider. Production assistance from Jessica Nath. Thanks to Marketing Director Elizabeth Baisley and Marketing Coordinator Madeline Knapp. 90.5 WESA's Director of Engineering is Russ Lloyd. The Executive Producer for Special News Projects is Kevin Gavin. I'm Liz Reed. Special thanks to our audience here at the Community Broadcast Center. This is a 90.5 WESA Life of Learning presentation.